Hi there, this is Pastor Bill Woods, and I just want to wish all our mothers happy Mother's Day and hope that everything's going well, that your family appreciates you like they should. And I always, when I was pastoring in a church, always wished the men happy Mother's Day too. And they say, oh, we're not a mother. I say, well, I know, but you probably lived through the day, might as well be happy about it. So for everybody, happy Mother's Day. A mother wears many different hats. I mean, a mother is a teacher, a disciplinarian. Sometimes, you know, that our cleaning ladies and their chefs, their gardeners, they lawnmowers and all that. Most moms understand that baking cookies is sometimes more important than washing windows. Mom is a nurse, doctor, psychologist, counselor, chauffeur, coach, and a developer of personalities, a molder of vocabularies, and a shaper of attitudes. Mothers are so important, and mothers are the soft voices saying, I love you. You know, Christian moms try to keep evil influences away from their children and teach them about God and to have good morals. I remember reading a sermon by Peter Marshall. He was chaplain of the United States Senate from 1947 until his death in 1949. And he liked to tell this story. It was called Keepers of the Springs. He said, once upon a time, a certain town grew up at the foot of the mountain range, and it was sheltered in the lee of protecting heights, so that the wind that shuddered at the doors and flung handfuls of sleet against the window panes was a wind whose fury was spent. High up in the hills, a strange and quiet forest dweller took it upon himself to be the keeper of the springs. He patrolled the hills, and wherever he found a spring, he cleaned it, its brown pool of silt and fallen leaves, of mud and mold, and he took away from the spring all the foreign matter, so that the water which bubbled up through the sand ran down clean and cold and pure. It leaped sparkling over rocks and dropped joyously in crystal cascades until, swollen by other streams, it became a river of life to the busy town. Mill wheels were whirled by its rush, gardens were refreshed by its waters, fountains threw it like diamonds into the air, swans sailed on its limpid surface, and children laughed as they played on its banks in the sunshine. But the city council was a group of hard-headed, hard-boiled businessmen. I've met boards like that. They scanned the civic budget and found the salary of the keeper of the springs. And they said, the keeper of the springs, you know, why should we pay this romantic ranger? We never see him. He's not necessary to our town's work life. If we build a reservoir just above the town, we can dispense with his services and we can save his salary and use it someplace where it's needed more. Therefore, the city council voted to dispense with the unnecessary cost of the keeper of the springs and to build a cement reservoir. So the keeper of the springs no longer visited the brown pools, but watched from the heights while they built the reservoir. When it was finished, it soon filled up with water. To be sure, but the water was not the same. It did not seem to be as clean, and a green scum soon befouled the stagnant surface. There were constant troubles with the delicate machinery of the mills, for it was often clogged with slime, and the swans found another home above the town. At last, an epidemic raged, and the clammy yellow fingers of sickness reached into every home, in every street and lane. I see dedicated, caring moms as keepers of the springs, raising their children in a wholesome manner, straining out the bad influences and keeping the home safe and secure for children to become successful adults. A child's first impression of God's love comes from mom. Mothers are all of these things and much, much more. The world plays down the role of a mother, but there is not a more noble or difficult job, and we salute moms who take their responsibilities seriously. Knowing this helps us understand Mrs. Zebedee, James and John's mother. Matthew chapter 20, 20-23 from the New Living Translation says, "When the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons, she knelt respectfully to ask a favor. 'What is your request?' Jesus asked. She replied, 'In your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left.' But Jesus answered by telling them, 'You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering that I'm about to drink?' 'Oh, yes,' they replied, 'we are able.' Well, Jesus told them, 'You will indeed drink from my bitter cup, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or on my left. My Father has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen.' Mrs. Zebedee heard what Jesus said about his kingdom, and she knew her boys were among his closest friends. I mean, they were two-thirds of his inner circle. There was Peter, James, and John. When Jesus established his kingdom, she wanted her sons to have responsibility and authority. At the beginning of this chapter, Jesus had told a story that probably disturbed her. He said a landowner went out to find laborers early in the morning, and they agreed upon a fair day's wage and started working. At noon, he found more workers, and they started working, and towards evening, he found more workers, and they started working. When the landowner paid them, at the end of the day, they all received the same wage. Mrs. Zebedee must have wondered, hearing that, will James and John really get positions of authority in Jesus' kingdom? That is when she asked Jesus for a favor. She said, "When you establish your kingdom, I'd like my two sons to have seats on your right and on your left hand." What? What a presumptuous old lady, the rest of the disciples must have thought. And sometimes we think that as we read this, and then we listen to those egotistical boys. In Matthew 20:22, it says, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I am about to drink?" "Oh, yes," they replied, "we are able." Since it's Mother's Day, maybe we should think more kindly about old Mrs. Zebedee. Notice when she came to Jesus, he didn't grant her a request, but he didn't deny it either. He reminded her of the cost of sitting on the right or left and told her the Father decides who sits there. She prayed her sons might be a part of his kingdom. At first, we're critical, but there were some good things about her request. First, she prayed her sons would be a part of Christ's kingdom. The most important job a mother and dad have is to pray for their children and encourage their children to be part of God's kingdom, accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Many mothers pray, sometimes out of necessity, sometimes because being a mom isn't easy and is often extremely difficult. Sometimes mothers pray out of frustration. Sometimes in the frustration of trying to teach their children, they realize the difficulties of communication. A mom told her 4-year-old son to watch his baby sister Susan while she stepped out of the room. She'd been gone a few moments when she heard a thump and Susan started crying. Not just crying, screaming at the top of her voice. Mom rushed in to find Susan had fallen off the couch and sprawled on the floor. The son sat there looking so innocent. The mom said, "I told you to watch her." The boy said, "I did." He watched her fall. He watched her cry. He did just what mom had told him to do. You know, parenting isn't easy. Sometimes there's no joy. Sometimes there is joy. Sometimes sadness. Sometimes your kids make you proud. Other times you almost wish abortion was retroactive. We had a lady in our church named Gwen when we were at Deer Valley, and I remember how many times she told her son, "I brought you into this world, and I can take you out." Parents, What good will it be if your children are successful, if they make lots of money, they drive fine cars, and live in good neighborhoods, but don't know God? Matthew 16:26 says, "And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but lose your own soul?" Are you spoiling your kids, your grandkids with things, but are forgetting to teach them about Jesus Christ? I know one family that lavished everything on their grandkids. The kids got everything they ever wanted. All the children had to do is say, "I want that," or just kind of hint about it. All of a sudden, it was there. Grandma and Grandpa provided whatever they wanted. You know, today those kids are spoiled with no thought about God. What should have been more important, expensive trinkets or time to share God? Being a parent isn't easy. Actually, Mrs. Zebedee was a good example. She prayed that her sons would be part of Christ's kingdom. We need that burden for our children, too. I hope all of you moms and dads and grandparents are burdened to pray for your children to be saved from eternal damnation and to be saved so that they will have eternal life. Well, she prayed for her sons that they would work in God's kingdom. You know, not only did Mrs. Zebedee pray her boys would be part of God's kingdom, she prayed that they would be actively involved in the work of his kingdom. It's not enough just to be saved. Churches are full of people just filling a seat on Sunday morning. Plenty of people are willing to sit back and soak in the blessings, but not be involved in doing the real work of the church. And I read a book one time that called this group the Soak and Sour Bunch. They just soak it in and it doesn't go anyplace. It just kind of sours. It's kind of like, you know, the difference between the Jordan River flowing into the Sea of Galilee, where there's an outlet and the water is fresh and goes out, and then it goes into the Jordan River on the other side and goes to the Dead Sea, and there it just stagnates because there's no outlet. Christians need to have an outlet of service as we live for Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we just soak up the blessings and sour. Well, where does the spirit of service begin? It begins at home with moms, dads, and grandparents setting the example and praying that their children be involved in the work of the kingdom, hoping they might help reach the lost, to see the church continue until Jesus comes again. Mrs. Zebedee prayed that her boys would be involved in God's work. Shouldn't we be doing that too, praying for our children to be involved in the kingdom of God and doing the work that God called us to do? Mrs. Zebedee had big expectations. She didn't just pray that her sons would be doorkeepers. She wanted them to sit on the right hand and the left hand of Jesus. That is the highest position to hold, and being on the right and left of the king is tremendous, you know, and she wanted that for her sons. We criticize Mrs. Zebedee of being brash and presumptuous, and I admire her boldness. Too often we just settle for mediocrity in the church. We are content with just barely making it through the door to sit back and just let things happen and kind of hope that the sermon's not too long because we want to get to dinner and all, thinking it's enough just to have our kid's body in church while his mind is somewhere else. One of my pet peeves is to see parents let children play with these little hand computers and stuff when they ought to be listening to what's going on, listening and hearing the sermon or hearing about Jesus' love. You know, they might be in the church, but that does not make them Christians. I mean, it's kind of like somebody said, being in a garage doesn't make you an automobile. It's time to take our role as leaders. We are part of the outreach of the church, making sure Christ's message goes into the world, our family. It's time to strive for excellence, to reach the very best there is. Jesus calls us to be his disciples, to be effective laborers in the kingdom. And Mother's Day is a special day because a good mother's love is probably the best example of God's love. Not all mothers are good mothers. I had a grandmother I never met, my dad's mom. Her name was Vanita, and when my dad was 4 years old, his brother was 7 years old, she ran away with a man, left my grandfather with the two boys, and I never got to meet her. She ran and deserted, and she was not the epitome of any good mother at all. My mom was a good mom. My girls have a good mother. Now my daughters are mothers and grandmothers, and I know they qualify as great moms. I have granddaughters that are mothers, and as I said, I think they're doing a fabulous job. My goodness, how did I get so old to have so many moms as my descendants? A good mother's love has gone through the valley of the shadow of death to bring that life into being. It's a mother's love and sacrifice over and over again that would lay down her life for her child. She's willing to give up food and sacrifice sleep for her baby. A teacher asked a boy, suppose your mother baked a pie and there were seven of you, your parents and five children. What part of the pie would you get? A sixth, the boy replied. I'm afraid you don't understand your fractions, the teacher said. Remember, there are seven of you. Yes, teacher, the boy said, but you don't know my mother. Mother would say she didn't want any pie. There's a story from World War II and the Holocaust that really gets to me. Solomon Rosenberg, his wife, two sons, his mom and dad were arrested and put in a Nazi concentration labor camp. The rules were simple. As long as you can work, you're permitted to live. When you're too weak to work, you'll be exterminated. Rosenberg watched as his parents were marched off to their deaths because they couldn't work. He knew his youngest son David would be next because he was a frail child. Each evening, Rosenberg came into the barracks after his labor and searched for his family. When he found them, they would huddle together, embrace, thanking God for another day of life. One day, Rosenberg didn't see the familiar faces he loved so much. He found his oldest son, Joshua, in a corner, huddled and weeping and praying. He said, Josh, tell me it's not true. Joshua turned and said, it's true, Papa. Today, David wasn't strong enough to do his work, and they came for him. Well, where's your mother? Asked Rosenberg. Oh, Papa, when they came for David, he was afraid and cried, and Mama said, there's nothing to be afraid of, David, and she took his hand and went with him. That's motherhood. Moms, this is your day. God bless you. I pray if you've never experienced the love of God that inspires the love of a good mom, today will be the day you choose Jesus. If you've have had a walk through the valley alone so many times, you'll see a hand reaching and saying, there's nothing to be afraid of. I'll go with you. Psalm 23:4, New King James Version says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God's love goes deeper than any sin. I've had people say, well, you know, God probably can't forgive me because I've been too wicked, too evil. I want you to know that when God said he so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, that was addressed to you too. And as I've already said, Satan cannot put something so deep into your heart, but what the blood of Jesus Christ can go deeper and cleanse you and make you fit for the kingdom of God. The peace and fellowship with God who loves you is more precious than anything else that you will ever experience. So I would say, confess your sins to him. Repent. Surrender your life. And surrender the family that God has given you to his care. Romans 12:1-2, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect.
My mom's love, my grandma's love were precious to me. Marty's love to me and to her children is extremely precious to me. Watching my daughters and their daughters raise their families and knowing how they love their children is precious. But the thing most precious to me is to realize how much God loves me and how much He loves you. He is so precious to me. I want to say Happy Mother's Day, Mom. And I would like to urge you, Mom, you, Dad, you, Grandpa and Grandma, be the Christian that God's called you to be and point your family towards Jesus Christ. You'll never be sorry in eternity that you made the decision now. Father, I'd pray that you'll help each one of us that we might draw closer to you. Be with the moms today. We thank you for mothers and for their love, their responsibility, how much they do that we just take for granted. Help us, Lord, not only today to appreciate our moms, but to appreciate them always and to do what we can to show them how much we love them. And God, help their love to inspire us to love you more. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Again, you know, if you want to tune into my podcast, which would give you the sermons that I preached all the way back to 2020, that's it's churchofthegalilean.com, all run together. Church of the Galilean, G-A-L-I-L-E-A-N, run together as one word, and then .com, and that will put you on the website, and you'll be able to see the sermons and hear the sermons that I've preached these last, well, since 2020. And if you need to talk to me about anything, my phone number is 623-845-2741. Also, you can text me at that number. If you need to contact me by Gmail, it's revwmwoods@gmail.com, all lowercase. And if you would like to write me through the slow mail, it's box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. I hope you have a good Mother's Day, and I hope that you'll remember that God loves you, and His love is so precious that He'll help you to love other people like He wants you to. God bless.